have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you, and the Lord bless you. Thank you tonight for joining Making Marriage Meaningful. I'm your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow, and I'm so happy to be with you tonight and having you to join me. I for some good, good talk concerning relationship, concerning marriage, and things of that magnitude. We're going to talk about some good stuff. We're in a good series at this moment. We just started on last week, so we will recap that and bring you up to speed. But please, let's share this with you. I am not a relationship expert. I share things based upon relationships that I've been in, having been married a few times, having gone through some ups and downs. I've learned some things that if I believe I share it with you, it will help you to avoid some things and to make better choices and have a better encounter with your relationship, your marriage, so that you don't have to go through the hurt and disappointment of a divorce. Prayerfully, something that will be said will cause that. Now, having said that, let me put this disclaimer out there. This conversation, as it is always said, it is unscripted. It is real. Nothing is fabricated. Nothing is fictitious. It is raw. Nothing is sugar-coated. We hit below the belt, and certainly it is relevant. It will be something you can identify because we share from the Word of God, and we share from transparency, and so that is going to be what will make the difference. Now, let me make this final notification. I do not do it by myself. God has blessed me with some great people to share in this panel. Some have been married. Some are married. Some are single. Some are widowed, whatever the case is. Some may even be planning on getting married. I don't know. But I do know that we're going to discuss some things tonight that I believe will be a blessing and a benefit to those who will tune in and listen in and hear what we shall say on tonight. So why don't you do me a favor? Call your mate, call your fiance, call your boo, whoever it may be. If you be necessary, call your booty call. You know, get them all on. Let them listen in so that they can hear this tonight on Elation Radio, via speaker.com and whatnot. Listen, we got something we want to share with you. Let me see who's joining us tonight. I know that the producer's here because it's because of her that I even have this podcast. Come on and say hello and greet us tonight, Dr. Kimmy Robinson.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I may be back and forth, but I'm with you.
Well, I'm glad that you might be back and forth. I want you to be with me, too. That'll work. Let me see. I've got a great person with great inside information who always shares with us. She is Apostle Felicia Flight. Apostle Felicia, are you with us tonight?
I am, but just remember this. My last name is no longer Flight. It's none of your business.
Ooh. Oh, so your name is Apostle Felicia, none of your business.
Yeah, it's official. I'm marrying my baby daddy.
It's official?
Yeah.
Am I going to get an invitation?
What?
Am I going to get an invitation?
Sure.
I want to meet this whoever this none of your business is. So I've never met none of your business. So you're going to be missing none of your business. God bless your heart. Hallelujah. Let me see who else is here. Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richards, Jr., are you joining us tonight? Well, okay, I don't hear him. Well, let me see about the Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Are you joining us tonight? All right. Let me see. Reverend Billy Gabriel, are you with us tonight?
Billy Gabriel.
You here? God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Brother Chuck, are you here tonight?
In living color.
Ha ha! That's what's going on. God bless you, man. Glad to have you. Glad to have you. I just wanted to check if we have any other callers who may be here tonight. Would you please identify yourself? Any other callers? All right. Well, I don't hear any. So we're going to go forward tonight, and we're going to enjoy what the Lord will do. Brother Chuck, would you lead us in a word of prayer tonight, sir?
Father, we come to you tonight in the blessed name of Jesus the Christ. We come not only because we know that you are able to do all that we ask, but we know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask and think in your name. So, Father, I submit myself in this crowd to you tonight in the blessed name of Jesus the Christ, your son and my friend. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, man of God. I appreciate that. Amen. I want to read the scripture to you and pick up where we left off and go further with that on tonight. Our scripture is 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, and we're going to stay there again tonight. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. We started talking last week from this topic, health. I'm toxic. And we, with the subtopic, ignoring the signs, ignoring the signs. And we discovered last week that toxic is behavior that adds negativity and is upsetting to your life. Behavior that adds negativity and upsetting to your life. So these, and we have to become extremely transparent to see something of this magnitude, because even in this verse, as we talked last week, we see something that David did that shows that he was indeed toxic to his particular relationship. And that we talked about was negligence. We talked about negligence being omittance, not doing certain things like you're supposed to do, or failure to take proper care in doing something. We talked about how David, when he was supposed to be with the others at battle, he wasn't there like he should have been. And sometimes marriages fail because people who are married, they are negligent in their marriage. They are not there when they're supposed to be. They are not visible. They are not. They're not visible. They're not supportive. They are not involved. They're not sexual. They're not communicating. They're not committing. They're not compromising. None of that. These are things called negligence. These are things called negligence. And when this exists in a marriage cannot help but to fail. It cannot help but to fall apart. And these are things that were happening that has caused the issue. Again, we talked about, we've dealt with in marriage commitment, we've dealt with communication, we've dealt with contribution, we've dealt with consistency and compromise. Those things that are in marriages that should be always adhered to in order to see good results. But when these things are neglected, when these things are omitted, these are the things that begin the sequence of your marriage or your relationship, for that matter, falling apart. So, and again, it's because a toxic person who is negligent causes this. Anybody want to agree or disagree? Going once? Going twice. All right. Thank you. So, now we've discovered this first issue. Here's another issue that I want to deal with. same first verse that causes toxicity. And that is achievement. Achievement, which I do believe is something we should all look forward to. I also believe that it has the potential to show, again, another side of toxicity. Look at this again. It came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. Who was the king at this time? David. David in this passage had not too long become a king. He had advanced from being a squire. If you will, the sidekick of the king. He had advanced from being the minister of music, the minstrel for the king. He had advanced from being an armor bearer. He had advanced from all of these other little stages that he went through in his life. He advanced from being a shepherd of sheep. He had advanced from being a fighter of the bear and of the lion. He had advanced from these things, and now he had reached a place called kingship. Now that he's king, what he should be doing, we've already discovered that he has neglected. But now his achievement perhaps has gone to his head. Now let's talk about this, because when we talk about achievement, we're talking about something that has been accomplished. When we talk about achievement, we talk about something that has been accomplished. We talk about, especially by superior ability or special effort. Okay, what is it that made him king? What made him king is God. Because what? The Bible tells us that promotion comes from God. It doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. God is one who puts one up and takes another down. So here, God causes him to accomplish something in his life, and now because he's in this place, he feels he no longer has to be responsible to do those things that he should do. And that has happened in marriages. Oh boy, that has happened in marriages, because you got a supervisory position on your job, because you're making more money now on your job. You've made some kind of achievement because of your recognition, whether it is employee of the month or employee of the year. You become recognized. Maybe you're the one making the most money in the company, but you've got this sense of achievement, and so now you become toxic because you don't think you should still be humble enough to know your place and do what you should do. Anybody agree? Anybody disagree? Talk to me, somebody. Come on, talk to me, somebody.
We agree.
Anybody else? Boy, y'all quiet tonight. Y'all ain't going to help me tonight. Okay. So,
no, ask your question. Ask the question one more time.
I talked about achievement causing toxicity.
Uh-huh.
You achieve a certain height in your job, in your life. And so now you done got to a place where you now no longer do what you're supposed to do in your marriage or your relationship, because you're supposed to be now above somebody.
Well, that's not how it's supposed to be. You still remain the same. I mean, you shouldn't change because your husband got a promotion, you got a promotion or whatever. I mean, you're still in the team. You're still together. Like, who does that?
People do it.
Oh, well,
people,
I'm sorry. My last name is none of your business.
Lord.
Oh.
Let me be transparent. Let me be transparent. My ex-wife, when I met her, she was working as a front desk clerk. She came home one night being upset, saying that she was told that she has to fold troubles and things, and that she had to make up beds. And she said, I'm not doing that. That's beneath me. I told her, I said, you should learn the skill. You never know when it's going to come in handy. So she started doing it. Before you knew it, she was the assistant to the head housekeeper. Then, instead of becoming a front office manager, they made her the manager of housekeeping. It led her to another branch in the company that not only gave her a higher position, gave her a higher pay. And after being there for so long, it led her to a better company altogether, still being an assistant, higher pay, until it led her to an executive position in one of the top hospitality companies in the planet. As she went higher and her income increased, she became less of a wife. Now, she was not looking to participate in marriage. She was looking to dictate to the marriage. She wasn't looking to be a help. She was looking to get her own agenda accomplished. Why? Because of achievement. And so it got to a point where it became strenuous. And see, when there's achievement, also there is greater suspicion. Because why? When you are not doing your part, all you can do is point the finger at somebody you think is doing something else. Somebody talk to me here. Dr. Kimmy, talk to me. Reverend Billy, somebody talk to me. Okay, so I'm going to have to keep talking because nobody's talking to me. This is real serious. There are people right now, their marriage is struggling. Why? Because he has received some kind of achievement based upon his work efforts, his work ethics. So now he's making better money. He's got better recognition. He's got more respect. He's got greater responsibility. But just because you have a greater responsibility doesn't mean that you negate the responsibilities you already have.
Let me say this. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I want to go back to something that you said earlier. Something you said. You said that your ex-wife got a promotion on the job, and she began to neglect her responsibilities. Is that what I heard you say, or something to that effect?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. So put a quarter right there. Now what. I don't know what she was thinking about or whatever, but this is the reason why, you know, you have to understand where the wife and the husband is coming from when it comes to jobs. Now, her getting a promotion would have been a beneficial act to the family, to the marriage. To the team, simply because, okay, you're making more money doesn't mean that we go out and make more bills, but you're contributing to the household. Now, I don't know who in their right mind, and if it's somebody out there, may God bless you in all your heart and with your heart, does not want to contribute to their husband. You know, most people feel that it's the husband's responsibility to take care of all the bills. Some people feel that it's the responsibility of both partners, which I've heard during a counseling session that if the wife is helping the husband pay bills, that they're not in a marriage, they're in a relationship. Then I've heard that the husband is responsible for paying the mortgage, the wife is responsible for paying everything else. But they split the condo down the middle. So if these things are talked about before the commitment happens, that will alleviate a lot of confusion, misunderstandings, and things of that nature. Now, again, me, because I am in a relationship, I don't expect for my husband to, my soon-to-be husband, to pay all the bills. Because that becomes stressful. That becomes wear and tear on him. And then I don't want to be the one who's responsible for paying all the bills. But I think what happens is with women is we go back to that Leave It to Beaver, that Cleaver episode, when the wife was always home, that her responsibility and her job was being home taking care of the kids. They will also say, now, the Proverbs 31 woman, she made sure that her household was taken care of. Her husband, yes, he went out to work, but she prepared the kids. She prepared everything that there was a need of. She did the need. I don't know, again, of what woman in their right mind would want their husband to stress out over bills, because when husband is stressing out, husband can't give you what he wants. And if you're taking your money and you're doing whatever you want to do with your money, it ain't so. You need to be by yourself, because, like, yeah, your money, your agenda is what it is, your agenda. So, no, we need to have it. This conversation needs to go a little bit further. Okay, I'm removing my quarter. Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's look at it. You know, people have different ideologies. What a husband is supposed to do, what a wife is supposed to do. And you made mention of going back to Leave It to Beaver, with Wally and Beaver's mother being home, and Mr. Cleaver, whatever his name was, always out at work but handling the business. But we are not in the time where the woman stays at home. In today's time, especially since the late 50s, early 60s, women wanted equal rights. Although they don't get paid the same, they have rights. They work. They make their money. They have now become career women. Whereas the average man back in the day would work in a factory or in the field or on cars or something, you know, now it's a changed thing where men go to work dressed up and they have legal opportunities, whatever the case is. Now she comes into the workforce, right? She being, or if she is a wife, she still has to learn how to balance her time between work and being a housewife, being a mother, and so on. But when this achievement comes that you are promoted, you have this position now, you, at what point do you remember that what you do on the outside of your home and your marriage should not interfere with your marriage? Because these are things that are happening. I'm big time now. I do this at my job, so that's not. I mean, first of all, for what reason does your work come home with you? What reason? So you got a supervisor.
Well, unfortunately, mine do. My work comes home with me because I'm always on call, because I'm a case manager. So
you
know,
are you going to allow that to interfere with your marriage?
Say what now?
Are you going to allow you being a case manager to interfere with your marriage?
Oh, no. No.
Why not?
Because my marriage is, why not? Because that should not affect my marriage or my husband nor my relationship. Because at the end of the day, I'm bringing to the table just like he is. And again, you know, yeah, women want equal rights. Yeah. Okay, all that. But at the same token, it still does not
supposed to interfere with your marriage. It's just not. You know, so what if you if you make more money than him, more money than her, so what? You spend it, as long as it's coming home to the same house, there should be no problem.
Yeah, that's right.
It's coming home to the same, I'm talking about the same house. Now, if you got another house out there, I got some questions. But if it's coming home to, if it's coming home to P.O. Box, whatever my post office, and my mail, if it's coming home to that there, we in this, no, mm-mm. Because you that's how people gang situationships. That's not a marriage. That's a partnership. That's a roommate. And I ain't got time to be no roommate. We got to split. I buy groceries. I write my name on the groceries. What the heck? What kind of ham and cheese sandwich is that?
Uh-oh. Okay.
I'm writing my name on. I can see if it was my favorite candy or something like that. But, oh, I'm writing my name on a bottle of water. Oh, I bought this. Where they do that at?
Mm.
You might as well go get your roommate. Whatever I bring in my household is for my household. Nah, the only thing, only people I used to get mad at about eating my snacks is my children, because they going and they had deep throats and they had big stomachs. But, you know, it still came home. And I'm just being facetious, y'all. But it still came home to my house. You cannot neglect something because you think you're so high and mighty. Remember now, what goes up must come down. And when it come down hard sometimes. But you cannot, women, men, you cannot get into a position and forget about your marriage, because your marriage, you desire to be married. You took him or her from what was comfortable and brought them to you. So now you want to neglect the fact because you done moved up in the world. Have several seats, please. Several. I yield the mic.
Let me try to jump in. I've been trying to butt in for a couple of minutes. Now, I understand that we are talking about now about the who makes the most money, or if what, well, with the promotion. Now, according to the vows that we often say, I understand that said that they become one in the marriage. I know they're two separate people. However, you become a unit, a blending of two people, becoming one, so to speak. And they are blended. And each one of them, each one of them, we have a maintain his or her own unique personality and its interest and the job, so to speak, whatever it might be when they got married. And then you both, at this time, in my opinion, become deliberately integrate, that they should integrate their interests together. This, it's all in one house. This is me. Maybe I'm old school. They integrate those interests in the one house. One unit, husband and wife. And now when it's done right, and I think each person will become very happy or happier, happier person when they try to support one another. Now, as far as him or her making more money, that's all good. Whoever makes the most money, in my opinion, it comes to the same house. It's not a matter of competing with one another. If that be the case, that it's going to fail. I think that's where encouragement will come in, rather than just pray. Encourage him or her to do even more, if all possible. It's coming to the same house. It's coming to the same unit. And I personally, if not, they just want to have a separate account just for miscellaneous stuff for one another, well, as I said, for miscellaneous, that's all well and good. But as far as the basic income, I personally believe that should be no quarrel, no nothing. It's coming to the budget. It's coming to pay the bills or whatever it is to be. We are Mr. and Mrs. Gabriel. One unit, coming together in unity. Now, if I have misunderstood that, please help me out. But I don't see where that should be any disagreement or argument of competitive measures when husband and wife are working and one is making more, making $3, while one is making $2. It's still coming to the same.
Yeah, but now, Reverend Billy, it's not about what's coming to the same house. It's about the attitude from the achievement. See, because while the two are meant to become one flesh, that's what is meant to happen, because of the achievement, which is someone who has accomplished something, now all of a sudden there's this big head, there's this big ego, there's this grandeur about this individual now because of what they have achieved, so to speak. And so therefore, now the mindset is, well, since I'm this in my am on my job, well, let me take it home with me. So now I'm bigger than just being a husband. I'm bigger than just being a wife. I'm now a supervisor. I'm now the owner. I'm now the CFO, the COO, the CEO. I'm the vice president. I'm the executive or whatever stage it is. This achievement has caused their attitude to shoot so high that they are no longer interested in being being a participant in their marriage.
But they
now want to become to the point where they're more of a dictator.
Well, a dictator, in that case, is someone perhaps who was brought up in a home who felt like his daddy, or that he's following his own father's example. If you were raised in a home where daddy, everything depended on daddy, he was a controller, and everything his decision that he made were the house. Now that's altogether different, because there are so many different ways in which we were brought up. There were some that did not want to went along with mom because he didn't want to make everybody happy. See, there are so many ways. But if he was a dictator, then he's growing up, that meant he has more than likely brought up in a home where daddy and Rudy and nobody else had anything to say. But I think whenever a person comes together and marries, all these things should have been brought out to before they got started. What is his attitude about marriage? Because some of them I know come in, they will say they're about the thing about submitting to one another. And I think in the case of him, his achievement, if he want to have that attitude of he's bigger than that should be left in the office, but definitely not in his home. That should be when she or he, once he gets promoted, encouraged and be glad that he made that promotion. But if he bring that back into the house, him or her, and throw it down on her, that's demeaning. That is not part of the, I don't think that's part of the blending part. I really don't. But I think they should be all together one.
They should be. They should be. But again, when people, see, here's the reality. People change in their life as they go up in their life. Let's look at this, right? No one stays the same in their life, especially when they get married. No one stays the same. Every individual changes. Some people change for the better. Some change for the worse. Right? And you would think that when someone gets promoted, it would be a joyous time. But it's terrible when someone gets promoted and everyone else as if they're beneath them. That becomes the issue. Notice what the scripture said. The scripture said it was a time when the kings go forth to battle. And the Bible said that David sent out his army and his army men. But he himself, he stayed behind. So what does that say? That says not only did he neglect it, but now because of his achievement, he's abusing where he is. So let's consider this. People who are married or people in their relationship, because of their achievements, because they have accomplished something with their effort, all of a sudden they have the mindset that they are better than. They are higher than. They are more than. These are things that create issues. And this is why a lot of marriages fall apart.
But you remember when David stayed back, he became tired, and he just happened by the king, he could stay back, but what happened? He's happy.
This is what I'm saying.
He saw this person bathing, and he stepped out of line altogether. So that.
But now consider why.
But his achievement, and that had nothing to do with that. And of course, that's scripture. And for that, he messed up on that.
I need you to consider this. He's now king. Now, mind you, prior to being king, he was so humble. When he was just taken, when he was tending to the sheep, he was so humble. When he was facing the bear, when he was facing the lion, he was so humble. When he was ministering to the king, he was so humble. When he was killing Philistines, he was so humble. When he became king, it all changed. He no longer felt the need to be humble. What I'm saying is, when people achieve something in their life, they no longer sense the need to be humble because they think, hey, I did this. I did that. I accomplished this. I accomplished that. And when you put all of this I into it, what you're doing is you're lifting yourself up. And when you lift yourself up, you put everybody else down. And this is something that he had did. That's why, as a king, he didn't go to battle. Because he felt, hey, I don't need to. I'm the king. I can send somebody out. And so, therefore, in the concept in marriage, hey, I've achieved this. They need to recognize, my husband need to recognize me. My wife need to recognize me. My children need to recognize me. Everybody on the block need to recognize me that I did this, and I'm here now.
But, okay, turn around on the opposite side. Do just the opposite. And on the flip side, he gets this dynamic promotion. And he is comfortable in his marriage. That should be something to be very happy. Look, baby, look what I get. Guess what? I just got promoted. He in turn. That is great, baby. Let's see if he could do something opposite. Do that again. That's what I'm saying. Now that is two different personalities and traits. This fellow had lost his mind. He became egotistical, and taking on this stuff and saying he did it all by himself. And all too often, and the stories that I've seen in nerds, that said that behind every good man is a good woman, and vice versa. It could be that she could had encouraged him to get that promotion. He could be more appreciative. Yes, I understand. There are people who might do that. But on the flip side of the coin, in a good marriage, I believe that she would be encouraging, pat on the back and say, well done, baby. And at the same time, that the children will look up to him, be proud. If he's humble, as opposed to being haughty like the way you're describing. Yes, David was the king. He could call, you know, in the military, the commanding general. He could send his men out to war, let them come in. But at the same time, you remember why he was there. And his idle time, what happened? Satan put before him something he could not refuse, and he acted upon it, and it destroyed a marriage at that time. But it works both as a flip side of every coin. But yes, a good woman or good man will pray, not so much to praise him, but encourage him. That's a difference between praising and encouraging, I understand. But that's, if she loved him, I think she would be very happy about the promotion. And if she got promoted, I think, in my opinion, they should be encouraged. But yield not to the outside temptations, then your idle time. And that David was idle, and he looked around and saw something he had done. Well, you know the story. That's my part. And everything went down.
Okay. Anyone else want to share their thoughts? Anyone else?
Well, I believe in the golden rule. And the golden rule is, he who controls the goal make the rules.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Brother Chuck.
Yes.
Give me your phone. In all seriousness, though, I think some women do believe that the man is supposed to do I don't know. What is the definition of partnership?
All right, come on now. There you go.
What's the definition of partnership?
I think that partnership is sharing the responsibility. I don't know.
Excuse me. There's a lot of feedback from a 240 number. Maybe that person is in their Bluetooth or something.
Okay. It's kind of making it to where we can't understand what the speaker is saying. But thank you, Dr. Kimmy. They say a happy wife brings a happy life. Yeah, but what about, we always saying these things about the wife, but what about the husband? Does he not deserve to be happy? I don't want my husband stressing about nothing, no bills, no nothing, because when I got him, he got me. And if there are some times when it's not his pay period, it's my pay period, I don't mind about slipping my husband. If I have any cash on me, slipping him, we go out to eat, $40 in his hand or in his pocket, and I send him a text message and be like, babe, look in your pocket, and he pulls the money out. That will make a man feel so good that you're just not sitting around waiting on me to do everything. We as women, we'll burn a man out real quick. And don't get me wrong, and it ain't twisted, that some men will burn a woman out too, especially if they know that she got the money. Oh, y'all just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. No, I'm not. If I have to do all of this by myself, every time we go out to eat, I have to pay for us to eat, we go do something, I got to pay for that. That ain't no relationship. That's a situationship.
That's not even a situation.
And somebody don't get hurt because.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to interrupt you. But that's not a situation. If she's doing it all, or if he's doing it all, that's not a situation. That's a free ticket. Point blank. Period.
Okay. Well, again, I say, and I'm gonna say my, I'm gonna say this for one time and one time only for this fine evening. If I have to pay for everything, I don't want it. You can be by yourself. I'm happy over here by my own self. My car note alone ain't nothing to play with. So I need to see something. What you bringing to the table, bruh? Because I know what I'm bringing to the table. And, again, it ain't about how much money nobody makes. As long as it's coming to the same house. Now, again, let me put my disclaimer out there. If I ever find out that he's sending somebody else some money or he's taking care of another house, you're going to come up missing.
In a marriage.
In a marriage, you're going to come up missing.
Hold on. In marriage and dating. Hold on. When we are dating, so to speak, I'm talking about in marriages, in a marriage. The when we're going out to eat or whatever the case might be, whoever is paying as a married couple, maybe I'm wrong, is coming out of the same budget, no matter which one decided to pay that evening or that night. Now, if you go into an individualized and talk about my money, your money type thing, that is not. In my opinion, that is not part of the marriage because when you're married, it's a partnership. It should be coming out of the same budget. In my opinion now, this is me talking. If your husband and wife are going out, whoever pays, whoever might be quick on the wallet, it is coming from the same budget. Now, if I'm trying to win you over to marry you, to get to date you, if I invite you out to dinner or wherever it is, I would expect to pay. I should be able to put the bill unless otherwise. But as a general sense, as the man, somehow in our society, which has been going on for years and years, we do the man thing. Now, if you come to the part where every time I take you out, and I won't say every time, all too often, several times, I forget my wallet, I forgot to cash my check, or where's my credit card? Can you do this? But if that could become repetitive, that would still be telling the lady that I'm not up to snuff, because all too often that can happen. And like you said, she should not be expected to pay the bill every time. Because I know he can only forget his wallet so many times. He can forget to cash his check just so many times or whatever his excuse might be. I think that's okay. That's not responsible. That's not responsibility. That's me. Help me out. Rebuttals are welcome.
Let me revisit this again. When it's a matter of achievement, you, again, it's no longer about us. It's no longer about we. It's now about me. It's now about what I have done. It's about what I have accomplished. It's about where I am. So therefore, it's no longer this is our place. It's now my money provides the bed you sleep in. My money provides the water and the soap you wash with. It's my money that feeds you. It's my money that takes care of your kids. It's my money. I do this now. I do that. Why? Because of the achievement. So because of the achievement, so now supposedly I'm bigger than life. So since I'm bigger than life, I don't have the same responsibilities you have. You're responsible for this marriage, not me. You're responsible to take care of this stuff, not me. You should be handling this. This and that and that and this. Because, again, accomplishment, this achievement, this accomplishment now puts you above everybody. Whether it's her, it puts you above everybody. And then let me look at this. Let's look at this as well. You've got some people who, when they're in such a position of achievement, they will become so insulting to their mate and tell their mate, you don't love me like I love you because I do this and that and this for you. I'll never forget, I watched a movie some time ago entitled A Good Man is Hard to Find. This young woman was married to a man who had an auto shop where he fixed vehicles, of all sorts. She had a degree that would allow her to work for a company making six figures a year just coming in at $250,000, plus perks and bonuses and paid for vacations and whatnot. And so because she's now talking with her boss, who of course drives a Bentley and he's a multimillionaire and whatnot, right? He's in her head telling her, you know, well, you got to know that some people don't want to go where you're going, and you have to learn how to leave them behind. So now when she comes home, she's telling him, do you know the price of being ignorant? You're going to lose your wife because of your ignorance. Oh, so because you make good money, it's all about you now.
See,
this is the stuff I'm talking about.
He's in total violation and opposite of the love scriptures of Corinthians 13, that the love is not puffed up. It is not vaulted up. It's all there. So that's his personal attitude. On the other side, he loves her. If he's a millionaire, whatever, we are now millionaires. Not I, we.
No. It wasn't the husband that was the millionaire. No, it was the wife's boss that was the millionaire. So the wife's boss is now in her ear. So she comes home because she's making six figures and trying to make her husband feel like he's a failure, that he's not significant. No, although it's the husband who bought the house. It's the husband who had been taking care of her when she went to school. It was him and his business that was supporting her. But now that she done got this degree and she done got this, she's got this career job, now all of a sudden he's not good enough for her anymore because of achievement. What? How many people do we know like that? Because the wife got a master's degree. Because the husband now got a doctorate. They are now supposedly better than the other.
No. Oh, okay. I don't see it as what, according to the marriage part. Once they have become together as a married couple, a blended couple, like two different people have come together to share the rest of their lives with each other, supporting one another, and ups and downs. Everyone achieves or loses. It's all the same. Please help me out because I'm really confused. This is what
Here's what I'm saying. Let's say I married this woman, right, who I know she's going to be a successful actress, a successful celebrity, let's just say, okay? And maybe when she begins, she's simply humble. And she takes her small gig. Maybe this month she might make $1,200. Maybe next month she might make $3,500. But it doesn't compare to the $8,000 I bring in a month. Then all of a sudden she gets it big. And so now she brings in $80,000 a week.
Okay.
So my $8,000 a month. So now the table has turned. Because it's no longer her bringing in small money. Now she's bringing in big money.
Okay.
Now the tax bracket for that. Now, wait a minute. The tax bracket for the house has changed. So so no longer is she filing as married and filing jointly. No, what she's doing is she's filing as married but as head of household because she makes more money.
Okay. Well, that's why income.
So now, because she makes the money, she makes him feel that his $8,000 is worthless, even though it was that $8,000 a month that got her through school. It was the $8,000 a month that kept her in fine clothes, kept her in a nice place to live, kept her eating decent food, kept her with her doctor's appointments. That was what kept her. But now that she's making $80,000 a week, she making him look like he ain't doing nothing.
And that's only predicated for the lack of understanding and respect for one another, because they are still a married couple. And she just happened to have that thing. That's what I'm saying. If there's a communication and understanding, respect for each other, I don't see where that should make any difference. Just thank goodness, baby, you made it. Thank goodness. I hope you get another job. I hope it's still one house. And that these opportunities that might, it may not be unfortunate, but they are.
You are totally missing this tonight, and this is going to hurt some. This is going to hurt someone who's actually facing this, because you have two things that are happening. You have one person who is saying that achievement is toxic,
okay. And
you have another one who is saying, "Oh no, it's not. We're married, so just deal with it."
Well, there's two sides. There's nothing existed. That's absolute, the opposite side of everything, because that person you described, in my opinion, he's a narcissistic, and he's a strong egotist. That should be just the opposite, humble and respectful and loving.
Again, it could be from either side. It could be him. It could be her. At the end of the day, the thing we don't want a toxic person to hurt their marriage because of their toxicity. We don't want that. We want people to have a healthy marriage, because your marriage cannot be happy if it's not healthy. And so when you're toxic, you are hurting and upsetting what should be healthy. We don't want that. We want to fix these things, because we don't want people to end up in divorce court over something that could have been prevented. So if an individual does not know how to remain humble, if an individual does not remember how to remember where they came from, they will do more harm to their marriage than good. They will do more harm to their household than good. They will do more harm to their children than good. And nothing beneficial will come out of it but a divorce. And a divorce will be so ugly and so nasty that it will not only tear them apart, it will tear their children apart. And when the family is torn apart, society is torn apart. This is what we don't want. This is what we don't want. So here is a king who had gotten himself so caught up with his achievement of now being king. He's not only neglecting responsibility, but now he's gloating in his achievement. Because why? Because he's now king. Because he's got this promotion. Because he's now uppity. That is dangerous. I'm telling somebody, whether it's a husband or a wife, just because you got a good promotion, just because you got a good increase on your job, is no reason to neglect being a husband, is no reason to neglect being a wife, is no reason to neglect being a parent, is no reason to neglect being a normal citizen. Don't get on a high horse just because you've gotten promoted, just because you've gotten a good raise, just because you've accomplished some great things. You got a degree, or you've been recognized by the city, or whatever the case is. Stay humble. Stay humble. And be that husband. Be that wife. Don't forget your responsibilities at home. Don't forget what you're supposed to do as a husband. Don't forget what you're supposed to do as a wife. Don't forget what you're supposed to do as a parent. Don't forget these things that you're supposed to do as a citizen of society. Don't get so caught up that you don't know how to do your part. Because what you do is you hurt your marriage. And when you hurt your marriage, you make your marriage a prime candidate for divorce. That's what it boils down to. We're going to continue some more with this "Help, I'm Toxic" next week. Because we don't want you to ignore these signs. We don't want you to ignore these things that could become extremely detrimental. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Please do join us next week, Saturday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, as we deal with more making marriage meaningful. And please remember, your marriage will not be meaningful as long as your mate is meaningless. Until next time, go with God, and he will go with you. Dr. Kimmy, I need you to drop that track. Y'all have a good night. Shalom. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Of God.